The smooth man in the camel hair coat was not wearing his camel hair coat, and was, in fact, a good deal less smooth than the last time Richard had encountered him. They were sitting in his office, and he had listened to Richard's list of complaints with the expression of someone who has recently and accidentally swallowed whole a live spider and has just begun to feel it squirm.
"Well, yes," he admitted, after looking at the files. "There does seem to have been some kind of problem, now you mention it. I can't quite see how it could have happened."
"I don't think it matters how it happened," said Richard, reasonably. "The fact of the matter is that while I was away for a few weeks, you let my flat to," he consulted his notes, "George and Adele Buchanan, who have no intention of leaving." The man closed the file.
"Well," he said, "mistakes do happen. Human error. I'm afraid there's nothing we can do about it."
The old Richard, the one who had lived in what was now the Buchanan's home, would have crumbled at this point, apologized for being a nuisance, and gone away. Instead, Richard said,
"Really? Nothing you can do about it? You let out a property I was legally renting from your company to someone else, and in the process lost all my personal possessions, and there's nothing you can do about it? Now, I happen to think, and I'm sure my lawyer will also think, that there is a great deal you can do about it."
The man without the camel hair coat looked as if the spider was beginning to crawl back up his throat.
But we don't have any other vacant flats like yours in the building," he said. "There's only the penthouse suite."
"That," Richard told the man coldly, "would be fine." The man relaxed. "For living accommodation. Now," said Richard, "let's talk about compensation for my lost possessions." The new flat was much nicer than the one he had left behind. It had more windows and a balcony, a spacious lounge and a proper spare bedroom. Richard prowled it, dissatisfied. The man without a camel hair coat had, extremely grudgingly, had the flat furnished with a bed, a sofa, several chairs, and a television set. Richard put Hunter's knife on the mantelpiece. He bought a takeaway curry from the Indian restaurant across the road and sat on the carpeted floor of his new flat and ate it, and wondered if he had ever really eaten curry late at night in a street market held on the deck of a gunship moored by Tower Bridge. It did not seem very likely, now he came to think of it. The doorbell rang. He got up and answered the door.
We found a lot of your stuff, Mr. Mayhew," said the man, who was once more wearing his camel hair coat. "Turned out it had been put into storage. Right, bring the stuff in, lads."
A couple of burly men hauled in several large wooden packing cases filled with Richard's stuff, and deposited them on the carpet in the middle of the living room.
"Thanks," said Richard.
He reached into the first packing case, unwrapped the first paper-covered object, which turned out to be a framed photograph of Jessica. He stared at it for some moments, and then he put it down again in the case. He found the packing case with his clothes in and removed them from the case and put them away in his bedroom, but the other cases sat untouched in the middle of the living room floor. As the days went on, he felt increasingly guilty about not unpacking them, but he did not unpack them. He was in his office, sitting at his desk, staring out of the window, when the intercom buzzed.
"Richard," said Sylvia. "The MD wants a meeting in his office in 20 minutes to discuss the Wandsworth report."
"I'll be there," he said. Then, because he had nothing else to do for the next 10 minutes, he picked up an orange troll and menaced a slightly smaller green-haired troll with it.
"I am the greatest warrior of London below. Prepare to die," he said
in a dangerous, trollish voice, waggling the orange troll. Then he picked up the green-haired troll and said in a smaller, trollish voice,
"Aha! But first you shall drink the nice cup of tea."
Someone knocked on the door, and guiltily, he put down the trolls. "Come in." The door opened, and Jessica came in and stood in the doorway. She looked nervous. He had forgotten quite how beautiful she was.
"Hello, Richard," she said.
"Hello, Jess," said Richard, and then he corrected himself. "Sorry, Jessica." She smiled and tossed her hair.
"Oh, Jess is fine," she said, and looked as if she almost meant it.
"Jessica, Jess. Nobody's called me Jess for ages. I rather miss it."
"So," said Richard, "what brings, do I have the honour, you,
Just wanted to see you, really?"
He was not sure what he ought to say.
"That's nice," he said.
She closed the door to his office and took a few steps towards him.
"Richard, you know something strange? I remember calling the engagement off, but I hardly remember what we were arguing about."
"No.
It's not important, though, is it?"
She looked around the office.
"You got a promotion?"
Yes.
"I'm happy for you."
She put a hand into the pocket of her coat and pulled out a small brown box. She put it down on Richard's desk. He opened the box, although he knew what was inside it.
"It's our engagement ring. I thought that, well, maybe I'd give it back to you, and then, well, if things worked out, well, perhaps one day you'd give it back to me."
It glittered in the sunlight, the most money he had ever spent on anything. He closed the box and gave it back to her.
"You keep it, Jessica," he said, and then, "I'm sorry."
She bit her lower lip.
"Did you meet someone?"
He hesitated. He thought of Lamia and Hunter and Anesthesia and even Dor. But none of them were someones in the way that she meant.
"No,
no one else," he said. And then, realizing it was true as he said it,
"I've just changed, that's all."
His intercom buzzed.
"Richard, we're waiting for you."
He pressed the button.
"Be right down, Sylvia."
He looked at Jessica. She said nothing. Perhaps there was nothing she could trust herself to say. She walked away and she closed the door quietly behind her. Richard picked up the papers he would need with one hand. He ran the other hand across his face as if he were wiping something away. Sorrow, perhaps, or tears, or Jessica.